Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Empty Stocking. Want to help? Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800, Odessa, or the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, 79761. Donate online at https://give.salvationarmytexas.org/give/371871/#donation/checkout. Want to know more? Call 332-0738. What is it? The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Empty Stocking Funds enable the Salvation Army to provide toys and food baskets to needy families in Odessa. This year's goal is $100,000. Man charged with sexually assaulting intoxicated woman. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed a 23-year-old man was arrested after he sexually assaulted a woman who was intoxicated. Kavas Suwan DeJohn Green was charged with aggravated sexual assault, a first-degree felony. He was also charged with false identification of a fugitive from justice, a Class A misdemeanor. On October 23rd, a victim reported to OPD that she was sexually assaulted by two unknown persons. The victim will be identified through the pseudonym of A.L. A.L. stated that on the evening of October 23rd, she and her friend contacted another male, whose name was redacted as he hasn't been arrested as of Wednesday afternoon, and asked him if he would buy them liquor as they were both underage, the affidavit stated. A.L. stated the male agreed to buy the liquor, and they picked him up at a local apartment complex and took him to buy the liquor at a local store. A.L. stated that her friend paid for the liquor with her credit card. A.L. detailed, after reportedly buying the liquor, they all went to an apartment where they visited for a few minutes. A.L. stated eventually she and her friend Green and another male, whose name was also redacted, as he hasn't been arrested as of Wednesday afternoon, went to an apartment located across the street, which was later identified as the Parkway Oaks apartment complex. A.L. stated while she was in the apartment, she consumed a lot of liquor and she became very intoxicated, the affidavit stated. A.L. stated during the night, Green kept motioning to her to go into the bedroom, but she refused to do so. A.L. detailed that she eventually got up and reportedly went to the bathroom, which was located inside the bedroom. While she was using the bathroom, she heard the bedroom door being locked. A.L. stated that when she exited the bathroom, Green grabbed her by the hand and forcefully led her to the bed. A.L. stated that she tried to fight off Green and another male, whose name was redacted as he hasn't been arrested as of Wednesday afternoon, but they overpowered her, removed her clothing, and sexually assaulted her, the affidavit detailed. A.L. reportedly told police during the sexual assault she cried out for help and her friend tried to enter the room, but the door was locked. A.L. stated after she was sexually assaulted, both Green and the male, whose name was redacted as he hasn't been arrested as of Wednesday afternoon, got dressed and fled the scene, the affidavit stated. A.L. stated she also got dressed and she and her friend fled the scene as well. Due to her high intoxication level, A.L. was reportedly transported to Medical Center Hospital, and it wasn't until a few hours later that she was coherent enough that she advised medical personnel of the sexual assault. A SANE exam was done and it showed trauma, the affidavit stated. At 2:42 p.m., November 27th, officers were dispatched to the Pepper Tree Apartments, located at 4600 Oakwood Drive, in reference to a wanted subject. an OPD case report detailed. Officers made contact with a subject who matched the most recent booking photo for the wanted subject. When asked for a name and a date of birth, the subject reportedly provided the name of Arthur Glenn Thomas. Officers re-advised the subject several times that he needed to be honest about his identity, but he maintained he was Thomas. When officers asked for his Social Security number, he stated he didn't know it. Booking photos confirmed his true identity was Green, the report stated. A record check showed he had a warrant for aggravated sexual assault. Jail records show he has two bonds totaling $76,500 and was still in custody as of Wednesday morning. Man charged in connection to collision with motorcyclist. A 27-year-old man was arrested after he was involved in a two-vehicle collision that sent a 26-year-old motorcyclist to the hospital. Roberto Solorzano was charged with accident involving serious bodily injury, a third-degree felony, false report or statement to an officer, a Class B misdemeanor, and public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor. The reported collision happened around 3:52 p.m. November 30th in the 4300 block of North Grandview Avenue, an Odessa Police Department press release stated. The investigation reportedly showed a red and black Kawasaki operated by 26-year-old Joey Wade Martin was traveling northbound in the outside lane. A blue 1988 Chevrolet Silverado operated by 27-year-old Roberto Solorzano was also northbound. The Silverado collided with the motorcycle, the press release stated. Solorzano left the scene of the accident without leaving the information required by state law. Martin was transported to the Medical Center Hospital with life-threatening injuries. Solorzano was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on December 1st. Jail records show he has two bonds totaling $21,500 and was still in custody as of early Wednesday evening. Obituaries. Erlene Susie, Susie Dorman LaDonde. Kermit. Erlene Susie LaDonde. Erlene Susie LaDonde, age 77, passed away Friday, November 26, in Odessa, Texas. She was born on September 8, 1944, in Union, Mississippi, to Delmer and Maxine Barrett Dorman. Susie married Roger Lee LaDonde on November 24, 1960, in Midland, Texas, and they shared 36 wonderful years together until his passing in 1996. She is survived by her sons, Johnny LaDonde and wife Sheila, and Rodney Lee LaDonde, all of Kermit, Texas, David LaDonde and wife Cynthia, and Scott LaDonde and wife Jennifer, all of Los Lunas, New Mexico, daughter Laura Tabbitt and husband Charles of Bosque Farms, New Mexico, sisters Jean Foxworth and husband Ray of Branson, Mississippi, and Martha Tucker and husband Charles of Roger Lee, Texas. Susie was preceded in death by her husband, Roger LaDonde, parents Delmer and Maxine Dorman, daughter Michelle Denise LaDonde, brother Charles Dorman, twin sister Luleen Russell, and sisters Bessie Page, Joan Warren, and Linda Brown. Funeral services will be held on Friday, December 3rd at 10 o'clock, Grace Temple Baptist Church in Kermit, Texas. Officiated by Doug Bates, intermittent will follow at Kermit Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in her honor to St. Jude's or the local 4-H Association. Arrangements are entrusted to Family Service Funeral Parlor, and condolences may be sent to the family at www.fs-fp.com. Betty Lou Pulliam Blackwood, Odessa. Betty Lou Pulliam Blackwood passed away from this life and into her heavenly home on November 26. She was born on July 18, 1942, in Jackson, Mississippi, to Gilmore Dottie Pulliam and Madeline Howard Pulliam. She was raised in and claimed Owensboro, Kentucky as home. In 1959, she married Joe Blackwood at the age of 17. She is preceded in death by her parents, Gilmore Dottie Pulliam and Madeline Howard Pulliam, husband Joe Blackwood, sister Patty McCormick, and brothers Leroy and Buzzy Pulliam. She is survived by her niece, Lisa McCormick, and great-nephew, Jonathan of Utica, Kentucky, niece Vicky Rose, and husband Michael of Louisville, Kentucky, sister-in-law Jane Pulliam of Hartford, Illinois, and many nieces and nephews. She adopted grandson Kenny Cowan. She and Joe never had any children of their own. Visitation will be from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, December 2nd, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, December 3rd, at the Mission Dorado Baptist Church, with Pastor Jonathan Coleman officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death Notices. Bradley N. Berry, Odessa. Bradley N. Berry, 87, died Sunday, November 28th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory, Odessa. Mary Zavala Gonzalez, Odessa. Mary Zavala Gonzalez, 75, died Saturday, November 22nd, in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Daniel Mancha, Odessa. Daniel Mancha, 38, died Tuesday, November 30th, in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Joe Roberson, Odessa. Joe Roberson, 83, died Friday, November 26th. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Charles Edwin Whitaker, Odessa. Charles Edwin Whitaker, 63, of Odessa, died Tuesday, November 16th in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, November 28th. How to use social media to skyrocket Cyber Monday sales. Heather Massey, Better Business Bureau. The holiday shopping season is here, and your social media presence matters now more than ever. If you're a small business owner searching for new ways to increase sales, you might be wondering how to promote your brand on social media for Cyber Monday, or just how much you should invest in social media marketing for this consumer holiday. Below, we'll share tips and insights about driving Cyber Monday sales through social media so you can be prepared for this busy day. Impact of social media marketing on Cyber Monday sales. Consumers made their preferences clear when it came to the battle between Black Friday versus Cyber Monday. In 2020, Cyber Monday sales reached $10.84 billion, whereas Black Friday topped out at $9 billion. With 57% of holiday shoppers planning on going online this season, Cyber Monday presents a great opportunity to appeal to consumers. Shopping from smartphones also saw a 7.4% increase from 2019, with social media becoming a popular alternative to shopping from a brand's website. In fact, shopping via social media platforms saw a 17% increase in overall sales in 2020. Using social media to boost your Cyber Monday sales. With social media becoming one of the most powerful marketing channels available, it's important to prepare your social media strategy for Cyber Monday. If you're a small business owner interested in boosting your Cyber Monday sales, then you'll want to consider these tactics. Create and share targeted gift guides. Your customers will likely turn to your social media profiles this shopping season to learn about special sales and new products. However, In addition to marketing your offerings to your existing followers, you want to get them in front of new customers as well. A great way to get your products, services noticed by the right audience is to create posts that include targeted gift guides. This will allow you to highlight specials and products, giving consumers a reason to engage with your posts and visit your website to learn more. Another great method is to schedule gift suggestion posts like a digital advent calendar. Each day leading up to Cyber Monday, you can highlight a particular product that will be on sale during the holiday. That way your audience can keep an eye out for anything special they may be looking for to check off their list. Utilize video in your Cyber Monday posts. Video content is a great way to boost sales and conversations, especially if you have a unique or seasonal product or service that you want to show off on your social media channels. Not only are video posts easy for your audience to digest, but 54% of consumers ages 35 to 44 want to see more videos from the brands they support. Diversify your holiday posts. The holidays are the perfect time for businesses to offer special deals and discounts. But to capture shoppers' attention, you need to make sure your holiday posts are diverse and inclusive. Using different design elements such as photos, videos, colors, and typography that reference diverse holidays such as Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, Winter Solstice, etc., is a great way to boost sales. The more inclusive you are, the more engagement you will experience as consumers will be able to relate to your brand. Encourage user-generated content, another great way to improve your brand visibility and attract new customers is to share and encourage your customers to share user-generated content. This is an excellent social media strategy any time of year, but when consumers are trying to decide where to spend their money this holiday season, they're going to look for user testimonials and shared content more than ever. In fact, approximately 88% of consumers specifically seek out user-generated content because it is credible, authentic, and trustworthy. This is also a great way to get your audience involved in the holidays by giving them a reason to share photos and videos, and as an added benefit, their friends and followers will be exposed to your brand as well. Get more from your sales strategy with BBB. With Cyber Monday and Black Friday just around the corner, now is the time to prepare your holiday marketing strategy. Visit bbb.org/business for the latest business tips, resources, and strategies to make the most out of the holiday shopping season. Wishes Come True, special to the Odessa American. After waiting almost 3 years, on November 16th, Fabian P. Avalos' wish came true. When he entered his backyard after physical therapy, Fabian found a fully enclosed, shaded outdoor therapy playground of his own. It included a sandbox for creative play, 2 peanut balls to encourage weight-bearing through his lower extremities, a mini trampoline to improve cardiovascular fitness and coordination, a bouncy ball to increase balance and stability, a beanbag toss, and other games just for fun. Family, teachers, friends, and Make-A-Wish grantors joined Fabian to celebrate the completion of his playground. Even though COVID delayed his wish, Fabian's mom says it was worth the wait and something the whole family will enjoy together. When she put him to bed at the end of the busy day, she asked him if he liked his big surprise, and he responded with a huge smile that never left his face. We want to express a special thank you to Midland Playground, etc., Josh Bartlett, Jimmy Gatlin, Jared Flinch, Jillian Garcia, Jordan Moore, for their generous donation of time, materials, and hard work to clear the area, install the fencing, lay the turf, and hang the sail. Thanks to Corey Maya for his work on the sail. Making a wish come true takes time, work, and donations from many generous people in the community. For those interested in making wishes come true, go to www.makeawish.org to see all the opportunities available.
U.S. reports first Omicron variant case. By Zeke Miller, Olga R. Rodriguez, and Michael Balsamo, Associated Press, San Francisco. The U.S. recorded its first confirmed case of the Omicron variant Wednesday in a vaccinated traveler who returned to California after a trip to South Africa, as scientists around the world race to establish whether the new mutant version of the coronavirus is more dangerous than previous ones. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the United States' top infectious disease expert, announced the finding at the White House. "We knew it was just a matter of time before the first case of Omicron would be detected in the United States," he said. The infected person was identified as a traveler who had returned from South Africa on November 22nd, developed mild symptoms, and tested positive for COVID-19 Monday. Researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, obtained a sample from the patient Tuesday evening and worked feverishly overnight to assemble the genetic sequence. The person, who had had the full two doses of the Moderna vaccine and wasn't yet due for a booster shot, is improving, California officials said. Fauci and other medical experts strongly emphasized that Americans should continue to get vaccinated and get their booster shots. The vaccine has been proven to reduce the risk of severe illness and death, and Fauci said it is reasonable to believe it will offer protection against the Omicron variant. The mild nature of the California person's infection is a testimony to the importance of the vaccinations, said California Health Secretary Dr. Mark Galley. All the individual's close contacts have been reached and have tested negative, officials said. The patient who agreed to remain in quarantine was identified only as being between 18 and 49.
Platelet donation while taking finasteride. Dear Dr. Roach, I used to give whole blood 2 to 5 times a year, but several years ago I went on meds for an enlarged prostate and was told by the Red Cross that they could not use my blood due to the risk of birth defects if a pregnant woman received blood containing finasteride. Aren't platelet donations washed? Could I donate platelets? JT. Answer. In general, the requirements for donating platelets are the same as for donating blood. That means you could wait a month after taking finasteride before donating blood or platelets. I do understand that the risk to a pregnant recipient of the blood is lower than if she received whole blood or packed red blood cells. But blood banks are very cautious about ensuring the safety of the blood supply. I had another reader in the same situation ask whether his blood could just be given only to men. Again, the blood banks want maximum safety and flexibility to giving blood products.
This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, December 2nd. Woman tired of couple's constant intrusive drama. Dear Abby, my husband has a best friend from childhood I will call Artie, but they have little in common anymore. Finding things to do with him and his wife is a struggle. We like to travel, so we always invite them along, but Artie says no to everything. His wife, Han, and I are pretty close. The problem? We all spend a lot of time together at our home, and they fight constantly. It doesn't matter where they are. Anne shows up at our house in the middle of the night needing a place to sleep. Their fighting has ruined more gatherings than I have fingers and toes to count. I feel like our life is consumed by their toxic relationship. My husband tells me I should just ignore it, but he's not the one who has to tend to his friend's wife every day. I don't know what to do. Help. Signed, Exhausted in Alabama. Dear Exhausted, what you do is draw the line. Tell your husband the unrelenting warfare in his friend's marriage is more than you care to handle. Tell Anne the same thing, and that if she can't sleep under her own roof, she'll have to find other accommodations than your house in the middle of the night. Urge her to get counseling and to contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or a local domestic violence shelter if Artie is violent. As to socializing with them as a couple on trips yet, explain to your husband that you have lost your appetite for it, and if he wants to see his childhood friend, he should do it without you. Dear Abby, I've been married for 6 years. When I met my wife, we decided she'd move into my home with her teenage boys. I told them up front how important it is to me to keep a clean home. When they come home from college, they leave a mess in the kitchen, and it drives me crazy. This has been going on since we married, and I'm ready to tell my wife they are not allowed back into my home. I have reminded them many times about cleaning up after themselves, but their mess continues. I'm close to losing my temper over it. It angers me to see grown men in my home do this. It feels like they are blatantly disrespecting me. When I was away for a year, my wife constantly complained to me about their lack of cleanliness as well. Am I in the wrong? Signed, Taskmaster in California. Dear Taskmaster, you are not wrong. Remind the boys, without exploding, that you have asked them repeatedly not to leave the kitchen in a mess after they use it. Then tell them, without exploding, that if it happens again, they will have to arrange for other accommodations when they visit. It goes without saying that your wife should back you up on this. They should also ask their mother if there is anything else they can do to be helpful when they visit, like wash the towels they have used and make the beds with fresh linens before they return to school.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.